This is Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Man, we are cruising along here on this Friday as we get you ready for the weekend. She is Ariel Epstein. I am Keith Irizarry. Money Moves on VSiN. And we like stars, you and I. I think that's fair. And I mean, I know we like to find, you know, gems and, you know, diamonds in the rough. But how about Judge and Ohtani elected to the All-Star game as top vote-getters? I don't think it's surprising. Both are, well, I guess Ohtani's a global icon. Judge is an American icon. You could argue a little bit of global as well. But I feel like these are the two guys that should be the front runners and the first guys in, right?
Absolutely. When you look at Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani, I was watching Major League Baseball Network yesterday, and Dero gave out his like top 10 favorite players to watch in the last decade that they've been doing shows on MLB Network and MLB Central. And he said Aaron Judge was his number one. Shohei Ohtani was his number two. They put up graphics. The numbers for Judge are just absolutely insane. And even though he's kind of regressed right now, he's still hitting .308 with two doubles and two homers in his last seven games. So Aaron Judge up there for the hitters title, and Shohei Ohtani now back on the mound. Plus, he's homered in three of his last four games, eight ribbies, seven runs scored in that span. He has an NL best 28 homers and leads Major League Baseball with 80 runs this year. You always are waiting for Ohtani and Judge to either regress or like stay the same even. Keith, every year it just appears that Ohtani and Judge get better.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So you brought up the home runs, regular season home run leaders. I don't know if any of this is worth it, but I'll pick your brain anyway. So Aaron Judge is even money to be the regular season home run leader. Cal Raleigh is plus 130. Ohtani is plus 390. And then it is precipitous, the drop. Schwarber and Eugenio Suarez are 40-1. Alonso is 70-1. So Judge, Raleigh, Ohtani, worth it or not really? You'll spend your money elsewhere.
Not worth it for me at that value, because you're sitting on these plays when you could go and get something better at 10-1 odds. I don't like sitting on my money when I could bet the same money line somewhere else the same night and potentially make the same profit. Judge is the only player I'd put any money on anyway, just because Cal Raleigh, you'd think he's going to regress to the mean, which is clearly our like quote of the day today. But Cal Raleigh's been on an absolute tear, and he's having an awesome season. But is this sustainable? Same thing for Ohtani now going back on the mound, where he was so hitter-focused last year because he wasn't pitching. If he's going to focus on hitting again, does Ohtani then regress? And we're talking a different kind of market for Ohtani in awards. At least Aaron Judge, you know, is consistent. You know that Aaron Judge hitting home runs is consistent, and he doesn't have to focus on pitching.
Yeah, if I were going to bet on this one, it would be Ohtani. I'm not touching Cal Raleigh's prop there. Plus 130 does nothing for me. And regressing, right? Yeah, so he's 0-7 in his last two games following that seven-game extra base hit streak. I think we all expect at some point there'll be some hiccups in the season for Cal Raleigh. I still think he's going to hit a boatload of home runs, but there'll be some hiccups for Ohtani at plus 390. That's probably
the play. It's great value. For sure. Yeah. But aren't you concerned that he's going to start pitching again and that's going to be where he has to focus, so the energy might not be at 100% in his offense?
I think he led the American League in home run. No, he was second. Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah. So maybe that will change things. Maybe it will. So a little bit something there to look at. Hey, if you're serious about winning this football season, the VSiN NFL Betting Guide is your first real edge. You do not want to miss this. Comes out on Tuesday, July 1st. It's packed with in-depth previews of all 32 teams, season win total breakdowns, best bets from trusted VSiN experts, player props, betting projections, everything you need to get smarter and bet smarter all season long. Kick off your season with confidence and get full access to every VSiN Betting Guide daily best bet emails and exclusive content through the Super Bowl, all for just $175. And this clearly is your smartest NFL season bet. If you want to have it, you start now. VSiN.com/subscribe. And I'm pretty sure Stormy, who's usually sitting in one of these two seats, has a few articles in that one as well. And probably JVT does, I'm sure, also. All right, let's get into some games now. So some of the games we didn't get a chance to touch upon yet. The Giants and the White Sox. Giants heavy favorites, as would be expected. Although they've lost 8 of their last 11 games. Are you viewing the Giants as a team, now, not necessarily on this game, because I don't think you're going to pick Chicago, but are you viewing the Giants as a team that started off strong and you could find ways to fade them, or is this just a bump in the road for them right now?
I never had interest in the Giants. I like the Diamondbacks in the West more. I mean, the Dodgers, the Padres, and the Diamondbacks were always the three teams for me. And of course, now the Diamondbacks lose their 1-2 punch and they're stuck with Zach Allen, who's struggling as Chase Burns got hurt. But, Corbin Burns got hurt. And I don't, in this game, the line actually was moving against San Francisco, despite them being the public side. Aaron Civale, I think, is getting the start for the White Sox, which is very scary. But the fact that the line's moving in his favor tells me, stay away. The Giants, of course, they get Rafi Devers, and you would think that this is a team that at the trade deadline, if they really are trying to go all in now that they got Devers, you would hope made a move, because Logan Webb, Robbie Ray, looking decent this year. Robbie Ray looking better than he has coming off injury. Justin Verlander, never know with him if he could even stay healthy. Landon Rupp, who's pitching tonight, and Hayden Birdsong has actually been pretty good. So I think the Giants just need one more with Logan Webb, maybe even add to that bullpen a bit, and they could be contenders. Just at the moment, I never could trust the Giants in that tough National League. You've got a Phillies team I trust more. I trust the Braves more. I trust the Cubs and the Brewers more. And I trust the Padres and the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks more. There are just teams like the Giants, again, maybe one more bat for the Giants as well. I know that Devers is that extra bat. They need one more. Like a year ago, this team had I think there was one or two players in the lineup last year in San Francisco that had an OPS above average, like league average. Their bats have always been the problem. Keith, I just don't trust them enough yet.
I'm with you. And the Giants, 5.74 ERA over the last 11 games for their starters. It is the fourth worst in Major League Baseball. We had Jensen Lewis on in hour number one. He broke down the Mariners and the Rangers a bit. You got Logan Gilbert. You have Nathan Eovaldi. These are two pitchers that over the years, I've seen you give out pitcher props for both of these guys. Have you been in on them this year? I know Eovaldi's just coming back. He was really good early on in the season, but coming back from the triceps injury.
Logan Gilbert, his numbers now are too high. He used to be a 4.5, but for example, today he's a 6.5 strikeout prop. Nathan Eovaldi, since he's coming off injury, dropped to 4.5. He's usually a 5.5 guy. Seattle has been very hard. Both of these teams have really been hard to get a grasp on when it comes to strikeouts. Texas averaging 4.8 strikeouts a game. Seattle averaging 4.6. Remember last year, Seattle struck out at a record pace. This year, not so much. They got that down against righties, at least. Lefties is a little bit different. So no Logan Gilbert now and Nathan Eovaldi. The books have really caught up to their number, and they're pretty spot on. So I've stayed away. But I do like that under, Keith, that Jensen Lewis gave out for Gilbert and Eovaldi. But what I will warn people with is that unders, and you might feel the same, going first five unders if you don't trust the bullpen, yes, or if bullpens are a little taxed. If you're going based on the starting pitching, go with the first five under instead and don't worry about a ghost runner if it goes to extras.
Could not agree with you more. I think that's the play. Cubs and the Astros. Cubs are the favorites in this one. -105 on the money line. Over-under is set at 8.5. Got Kate Horton and Brandon Walter on the bump. 8:05 p.m. Eastern start. One of the storylines in this one clearly going to be Kyle Tucker returning to Houston, first time since he was traded to the Cubs in December. Part of that trade with Isak Paredes and Cam Smith and Hayden Wesenski. And it's kind of worked for both of these teams. Would you look at Tucker props solely because he's going up against his former team? I'm not doing that, but I don't know if you are.
Well, you know, I hate hitter props, but Tucker, he...
But you like nostalgia. I know you like nostalgia.
I love a revenge spot. I love any kind of good revenge spot. And Tucker, he's 7th in Fangraphs in WAR in Major League Baseball this year. Yeah, I mean, I guess when you return back to your home park and you've got some revenge spot and it's Brandon Walter on the mound for Houston, I don't mind it. He's familiar with the park. I'd have to grab his, like his Minute Maid park numbers, but I know they were pretty good. As for strikeout props, the Cubs don't strike out that much. Houston's hard to kind of predict, so I stayed away from the strikeout prop market here. But I guess, Keith, if you feel like a revenge spot is fun, then you could go look at some Kyle Tucker. Honestly, go get a home run prop. Who cares? Just do a home
run. Plus 390. There you go. Almost 4-1 odds for Kyle Tucker to hit a home run. We're just going to play it. Why not? Let's have some fun. Quick one, sneak in. Rockies and the Brewers. Colorado's been a really difficult team to figure out. Every single time I think that the opposing team's going to score 175 runs against them, Rockies still lose, but it ends up being like a 3-2 or a 4-2 game. Yelich is on fire right now, batting .486 over his last 9 games. Bryce Turang is on a 10-game hitting streak, batting .390. So I think those are two hitters you could look at for Milwaukee. I have another guy that I'll look at for Milwaukee a little bit later as well. Do you have a play in this game? Is there a way to handle this one?
Actually, I love a prop, and I think in the next segment, we're talking about all our favorite player props. So I'm going to let that be a little tease to the next segment.
Oh, you're giving us the tease there. All right, so the other games, you got Dodgers minus 160 to beat the Royals. Dodgers season best, 20 games over 500, kind of doing what we expected. They've gone 13-4 if you go back to June 8th. Otani, once again, is on fire, has home runs in 3 of his last 4 games, 8 RBIs, 7 runs scored, and it seems like teams are still pitching to him. So if you want to play an Otani home run prop, you can definitely do it. Ariel did a great job teasing it. Coming up, we will hit the prop shop. I've got batter props. She's got mostly pitcher props. It's going to be glorious. You will not want to miss it. It is Money Moves on VSiN. She is Ariel Epstein. I am Keith Irizarry. Keep it locked right here.
Here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Get your props here. Get your props here. I just feel like that was needed. She's Ariel Epstein. I'm Keith Irizarry. It is Money Moves on VSiN, and we are going to hit the prop shop. Before we get to actually our plays, so again, you and I have known each other a long time. We worked together for a long time. One of the cool things when we do betting shows together is that you love pitcher props. I'm more of a batter prop guy. So take us through for the people, catching us for the first time on VSiN together. Take us through your mind frame when you're looking for pitcher props.
I love pitcher props because there are pitchers that just tend to throw more strikeouts than others and lineups that tend to strike out more than others. I track them on my strikeout prop spreadsheet at thepropqueen.com. And I love that you could look at these lineups that you know not only there are certain lineups that just strike out a lot overall, there are certain lineups that have drastic lefty-righty splits. For example, the Texas Rangers, the St. Louis Cardinals, they strike out a full strikeout less against righties than they do against lefties. So you end up getting really good numbers on southpaws against those lineups. The books are really just averaging overall as opposed to lefty-righty splits against lineups. Keith, people tend to look at the pitcher themselves more than the lineup they're facing, and that's why you can find such an edge in the K-prop market.
Yeah, I love that. On the hitting side for me, it actually starts as simple as this. Who are the pitchers? I take a look at literally all the pitchers and I go, okay, that's a pitcher I might want to attack. That's a pitcher I might want to attack. And that's a pitcher I might attack. Now I look at the lineup that they're facing. I go, okay, these are hitters that I typically like. Let me see what that guy has done against this pitcher. Oh, he's done well. Now let me go further. If I insert a name, I'll just make it Aaron Judge because I don't have an Aaron Judge prop today. Then I'll look at Aaron Judge. What has he done over his last 10 games? Okay, he's still doing well. Now I'll dive into my market and find prices and find numbers that I want. And I know that you love this too. Like, I like to find like the weirder ones. I was very early on total bases like 5 years ago before people were really doing that. And then 2 years ago, I was all in on hits, runs, RBIs, which you've told me that I need to come up with a better nickname for because hits, runs, RBIs is too long.
It takes too long to say.
Should it be Herbie?
I don't mind that. You were the first person to show me the total bases market and the first person to show me the Herbie market. Everyone does Yerfie and Nerfie, so Herbie, the Herbie market.
Yeah, maybe Herbie. Maybe we just came up with it. You know, we'll throw it out there. People
you still like
listening
that market,
and watching,
by the way?
Oh, my God, yes, I do. I really do. Now, the only
problem
is... I heard
it's getting a little sharper.
Yes. So the books have done a really good job of, like, you can't get Ohtani at over 1.5 hits, runs, RBIs. Like, it doesn't happen anymore. So now it's 2.5. And now at the 2.5, you're kind of like, well, is that worth it? So you really do have to find it. So the way that the hits, runs, RBIs, or the Herbie market works at its best is for the lesser-known players. The stars don't work as well with it anymore. You got to go with guys that the common people don't know as well. That's the way I would word it.
That makes sense. And my good friend Tom Vecchio, he told me that the parlaying of a two-leg parlay for the stars for just one hit, like I mentioned at the top of the show, last night we liked Soto for one hit and Acuna for one hit. Parlay that together, you got -105. So if you like betting the stars and you want to find a market, obviously it's very hard to find a market that's not overvaluing them. I don't mind two-leg parlays to get you close to even money as opposed to these 10-leg parlays that people are throwing out there with stars. That's just absurd.
Yeah, our field is littered with people who want to give out parlays. And parlays are cute and they're fun, but they're sucker bets for a reason. They typically don't work. I mean, I guess if you have, you know, expendable money and you want to have fun with it,
parlays are like a butterface. It's like a butterface or a hot girl with no personality. Like, you've got, like, it looks really fun on the outside and you're like, oh, that seems like a great time. Then you get to know it and you're like, nope, never mind, not anymore, I'm out. And that's what happens when you lose on the last leg.
That might be the greatest betting conversation that has ever happened on VSiN. Brian Ortega, our producer, mark that down as first time. I think I don't know if we've ever heard butterface on VSiN before. Hey, so let's pivot from there and head over to Will Warren as someone you're targeting. Why and what's the number?
Wow, great transition to my Yankees. Yankees ready, Will Warren, over 6.5 strikeouts. I know it's a high number. It's the Athletics. And Warren has actually gotten 7 or more strikeouts in 3 of his 4 starts against high K rate teams. That includes his best start of the year, which was against the Athletics, 7 Ks, 7 1/3 in Sacramento. Righties, they're averaging about 5 strikeouts a game, which is on the higher end for facing Sacramento. And 4 of the last 6 have gone against the Athletics and have had over 6.5 strikeouts if you're a right-hander. So the A's are striking out more. I would take the over here on Warren at home facing the temporarily Sacramento A's, Keith.
I like that. All right, let me give you a pair of batter props and we'll move back over to you. We'll start with, we'll go chronologically for me. I'll go to Juan Soto for the New York Mets. I know that it's always scary because he might walk 3 times and maybe this won't work out, but really good numbers in his career against Mitch Keller. So I'm going to go over 1.5 total bases, getting this at +105, so plus value there. You could also look at a home run, by the way, because Soto is starting to rake 5 home runs over his last 6 games, 2 or more bases in 3 of his last 6 games. So simply put, I just like Soto to do his thing tonight. We'll go there. Go to the A's and the Yankees. No Judge, no, not going to do it. I know he's playing tonight. I'm just meaning I'm not going to do that prop. Cody Bellinger, total base prop, over 1.5 at +110. 2 or more bases, 4 of his last 7 games. Numbers against Spence, I mean, he's faced him 4 times, has 3 singles, so not really much there if that's what you're going to try to lean on. But if you're looking at Spence's numbers on his side, he's given up 4 runs and 8 hits in his last start. So he's coming off a bad outing, so I think that is worth it to pay attention to. And since we're in that A's-Yankees game, I might as well give you one more. Here's one. Nick Kurtz, just to get a hit, is minus 150. It is very juicy. This is a build your bankroll play. This is not, you know, you're not buying a brand new car because of this one. This is adding a little bit of money to your pocket. At least one hit in 8 of his last 10 games. Over his last 19 games, batting .306. Over his last 11 games, has 6 home runs. Over his last 20 games, batting .303 with 10 home runs. I think there might be a partridge in a pear tree there too. All right, so there's a few of my props. Let's go back to your prop shop. You were looking at the Pirates game. Are you going to look at a player or a side? What do you have in this one?
Yeah, this doesn't really fit the prop category. I'm just going with the Pirates on the money line. The line was very fishy. I mentioned it at the top of the show. The line moved 15 to 20 cents against the Mets overnight, despite them being the public side with 84% of bets and 89% of the money coming in on them. It's a horrible spot for the Mets. They just had to face the Braves. They split the series. They won the final two. Had to throw a lot of relievers the last two games of that series, especially the Griffin Canning game, where he just went 2 2/3 after the ankle slash potential Achilles injury. We'll find out more on that today. But the Mets don't have starting pitching. Manaea, Senga, McGill, they're all on the IL. This bullpen is taxed. And now Peterson is only on 4 days rest, where he's struggled, the starter for the Mets. Mitch Keller, he's pitched great this year, 11 quality starts. The team just doesn't score with him on the mound. With the line move and Keller at home where he pitches better and the Mets in a horrible spot scheduling-wise, I'm going to take a shot here on the dog. Give me the Pittsburgh Pirates, Keith.
I like that. Let me sneak in a few more, and then we'll get right back to you for more pitcher props. I was looking at the Tigers and the Twins game, Brooks Lee, Riley Green. No props are really up there. So let's just quickly pivot. Alec Burleson, who struggled lately, but I think he's going to bounce back here. So we're going to go with him on the total basis.
I covered him at ECU. Go Burley.
No, you didn't. Did you really?
Oh, my gosh. I didn't know that. That's cool. In college. Yeah, so Burley, he was actually a two-way player when he came to ECU. He pitched and he threw. And then when he went to the Cardinals organization in the minors, they said, you got to pick one, hun. And he ended up decided to stick with his hitting, which, I mean, he has been – we kind of always knew when Burleson got – like had to focus on one thing, kind of like Ohtani, how his hitting got better because he focused on one thing. Burley would get better offensively, and he surely did.
I like it. Total bases, we're going to go over 1.5, minus 115. We're going to sprinkle on a home run as well, a plus 340. 4 home runs over his last 10 games. His hard hit rate is climbing at 36.7%, and he is great against righties. And Luis L. Ortiz is a righty. 6 of the 8 home runs that Burley has hit this year have come off righties. Ortiz has given up 8 home runs this season to lefties, so we like that. No real numbers there to back it up for pitcher, batter, matchups, 1 for 7 with 2 walks. We're going to hold your last 2 props because we have best bets coming up, and both of those are in your best bet, so we'll leave those there.
Wow, you're
by
like
the way,
a
need
pro.
A proc. I'm trying my best. Need a proxy? You can join the world's biggest football contest with one trip to Vegas anytime before the season starts. Trusted by thousands of players over the last 9 seasons. Winner's Circle Proxy Service helped clients win over $9.3 million last 2 seasons. Learn more about using a trusted proxy service. Use Visit. And it is winnerscircleproxy.com/VSIN. Best bets coming up.
Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, so some breaking news here. Money Moves. It is VSiN. I'm Keith Irizarry. She is Ariel Epstein. So Cal Raleigh is going to be in the Home Run Derby. You're excited about this? Yes? No?
I'm excited. Cal Raleigh, big dumper going into the Home Run Derby. Him and Ronald Acuna, we've got some stars out there. I am a little concerned because I know the Home Run Derby can do some things to people's swings for the worse. Do you believe in the Home Run Derby curse, Keith?
I do. I do. And it's not even necessarily just the curse. I think it's like science, right? Like if you go from every single day, yes, you're trying to hit home runs in games, but you're also just kind of trying to hit the ball as hard as possible and make contact, to then getting lollipop pitches the way that you would, you know, die for. And then a lot of these guys do kind of change their swing a little bit during it, get a little bit more uppercutty, if that's a word. Yeah, coming out of the break, I could see, you know,
some of
these guys that go far.
Well, and the timer doesn't help either, because you're moving so quickly, as opposed to when it was like 10 pitches and you could take your time.
Yeah, so it's almost like the NBA dunk contest, where stars don't necessarily want to do it because they want to put extra strain on their bodies and the embarrassment. I mean, for the dunk contest, I think it's more about the embarrassment of not winning necessarily if you're expected. The home run derby, I'm thankful that the stars still want to do it, but I would understand at some point if it continues to run like this, where guys coming out of the all-star break struggle a little bit, I could see some of the stars saying no to it down the road.
I do like that Pete Alonso made it his mission to be the home run derby guy, because I do think it brought some of the stars back. We hit a lull where players didn't want to participate, and we were getting a lot of lesser names. It's like the three-point contest in the NBA. These two things are the two things that seemingly haven't fully died off yet, because you still get some stars that want to do it, as opposed to like the dunk contest, which is still awesome, except a lot of the times it's not big-name players. You want to get the big-name players, and people don't love the All-Star games anymore. You don't need them. It used to be a big thing that the All-Star game was the one chance you got to see all your favorite stars on TV. Now you don't need it, because we could watch all our favorite stars any day we want with all of these subscriptions. At least with the Home Run Derby, it's like appointment television for me.
Yeah, it's a really good point. We're going to get to our best bets in a second. Introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bank, and VSIN. All you need to do is open up a GBank Visa Signature credit card. In the first 90 days, you deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match. VSIN completes the trifecta with a free VSIN Pro subscription through October 31st and a $200 value as well. That is $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bank, and VSIN. You head to VSIN.com/GBank. It is VSIN.com/GBank. It is a one-time promotion, limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer, and will not apply to requests to converting existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions, you know it, they will apply. So let's get to our best bets, and you're going to take us once again to the pitcher mound. Take us through. Let's do one. I'll do one. You do one. So you go first.
I'm looking at this Rockies and Brewers game with Jose Quintana on the mound for the Brew Crew. He's a lefty. His strikeout prop's 4.5. I'll take a shot here at the over. I know that it's Quintana and he hasn't pitched that well, but Quintana hasn't faced a high K rate lineup yet. Now he's getting one of the highest K rate lineups in baseball, the Colorado Rockies, who are averaging just under 7 strikeouts a game, 14 overs, 8 unders for lefty starters facing the Rockies of their K prop. I mentioned it earlier, like Clayton Kershaw yesterday going over 4.5 Ks, 14 straight lefties have gone over 4.5 strikeouts against the Rockies. I am not backing off the trend while it's hot. Brewers lefty Jose Quintana over 4.5 Ks, Keith.
I like that one a lot. I'm going to go Rockies and the Brewers. And here's where I told you, right? And baseball people know this person, but if you're, let's say, the casual sports fan, you may not. Sal Frelick. I'm going to go over 1.5 hits, runs, RBIs. So the Herbie prop, as we have now dubbed it, at minus 135. He has topped this in 5 of his last 6 games. Career against Freeland, no real numbers there, 1-2, right? But as for Kyle Freeland, 7 or more hits allowed, 7 of his last 9 starts, 5 home runs allowed in his last 6 starts. So there's a way to attack it from the Herbie market. Sal Frelick, I like this. I think I'm going to rock with the Herbie. I like this. Sal Frelick over 1.5.
The Herbie. I love Herbie. Right, so I think that it flows really well.
Yeah, I like it. All right, you're up. What's your next one?
I also love in this Angels-Nationals game, Angels righty Jose Soriano to go under 5.5 strikeouts. Soriano has faced 4 different low K-rate teams. He's gone under 5.5 in 3 of those 4 starts. This year, righties against the Nats, 37 unders, just 22 overs, averaging just over 4 strikeouts a game. 9 of the last 10 righties to face the Nats went under 5.5 strikeouts. It scares me because Jose Soriano is one of those pitchers I always feel that I get good numbers on and always feel I lose on. But I really like this under 5.5 case for Jose Soriano tonight. So I'm going to take it at -120, Keith.
You know, I'm always afraid of those unders, and one of our former producers over at MLB Network used to always be anti your unders when they were like 4.5 or 5.5, but they typically hit, so I'll roll with you on it. I didn't do the legwork on it. I'll probably play this one for you. All right, so Juan Soto is one of my best bets. We talked about it in the last segment. Over 1.5 total bases, +105. Good numbers against Keller in his career. 5 home runs over his last 6 games and 2 or more bases in 3 of his last 6. There were a few that I did not get to, so I quickly want to get to this and just pick your brain. The biggest one that I didn't get to is Raffy Devers. So Devers, total bases, over 1.5, -125. It's digestible. I can rock with it. I think you could go with a home run there as well. 3 home runs in his last 10 games. Now, his batting average actually hasn't been great with the Giants since moving over there, batting .257. But to me, this is partially about Devers, but maybe even more about Aaron Civale, who requested a trade in the offseason and then, unfortunately for him, got sent to Chicago, but the White Sox, and he didn't want to go there, and it's been a struggle there. 13% home run to fly ball rate, that's high. He only strikes out like 6.6 batters per 9 innings, that's not good. And he's given up 6 or more hits in 3 of his last 4 starts, also 3 home runs in his last 3 games. So Rafael Devers seems like he's kind of ingratiated himself into the San Francisco lineup. The fan base seems to really like him. It's a road game, so the fan base doesn't necessarily matter in this one. But we're going to go Devers over 1.5 bases at -125.
Yeah, at least bases is better than Herbie, because with runners in scoring position, Devers has really been struggling. He's hitless in his last 12 at-bats with runners in scoring position, with the first 9 against his former team, the Boston Red Sox. But like you said on Thursday, 3-for-4, matches hit total over from his previous 5 games. It hasn't been awesome aside for the one game against the Red Sox, but 4 extra base hits in his last 35 at-bats. I would do total bases over Herbie for sure for Devers.
All right, so we'll rock with that one, and I'm quickly looking on my book. I want to see if any of the Twins and Tigers props have popped up. They're starting to pop up a little bit, but not the ones that I need, unfortunately. So here's what I'll do. And I don't know if you do this with pitching as well. So sometimes when we do these shows and props are not up yet, I'll tell you players I like and I want people out there to pay attention to. When the props come up, it's worth looking at. Brooks Lee is a name, again, that kind of goes under the radar. I gave out the prop yesterday and it hit. Probably going to look at total bases. A Herbie could be there too. He's got a 4-game hitting streak. He's hit safely in 23 of his last 24 games that he's actually had an at-bat in. So I like Brooks Lee. And then Riley Green is someone as well. Again, we don't know who's going to pitch against him. That's the issue. 2 or more bases, 2 of his last 4 games. 2 or more bases, 6 of his last 10 games. If it's Festa, he's given up 6 home runs in his last 7 games. If it's Ober, Riley Green actually hasn't hit him well. So that might give me a little bit of pause. Do you do the same thing with pitcher props as well, where you have a pitcher marked down that you want, but then you're like waiting and waiting and waiting for the prop to actually pop up?
It's why you set your own numbers. I set my own numbers on all the pitchers. I do it the night before. This way in the morning, I wait for the number to pop up. I see if it matches my number. Then we decide if we're going to go take an over or an under. I've got one more batter for you that I'm curious your thoughts. Jaron Duran, he's got great numbers against Jose Berríos. 476 average, 5 doubles, 3 homers against Berríos. I said earlier, I hate Berríos on the road. So maybe Jaron Duran for the Red Sox tonight.
Yeah, let's, you know what, I'll dive in on that one, because Duran was actually on my others, you know, like if we were doing a top 25 list, he would be
so that
others
means it'll
receiving
hit.
Votes.
It's always hits, yeah. When it's not on your actual card, it's on the loan card, yeah.
So we're going to add it to the card now. We're going to go total, what, did you have a total base number in front of you, or you don't have it?
No, I don't, but I have the matchup.
We'll get it on
the
on the other side. We like the matchup. We got a guest coming up on the other side. We should have a little bit of room as well for a little bit more baseball and all of that. So maybe Jaron Duran, we'll look at the Herbie. We'll look at the total base prop. We'll continue cruising along. She's Arielle Epstein. I'm Keith Irizarry. It is Money Moves on VSiN. Keep it locked right here.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Down here, Money Moves on VSiN. She is Ariel Epstein. I am Keith Irizarry. Go to the Progressive Guest Hotline now. Bring in Billy Boddy, betting analyst, host of the Soccer Gambling Podcast, and so many other avenues. And Billy, typically when we bring you on the show, we lead things off with UFC, and you'll give us some great insight. Why are you not looking at UFC this weekend?
I'm looking at it, but we have a limited window here. And to be honest, it's not on top of my priority list this weekend. Not a lot of people have asked for it. The build up to it hasn't been what it should be. You've got the head of UFC going out there, mainly focusing this week on a Canelo fight. Then you've got the retirement announcement of John Jones, which is a nightmare because everybody wanted to see that fight against Tom Aspinall. So UFC has a problem at the moment in terms of promoting what is pay-per-view. What is pay-per-view seems like it used to be a fight night card, and they don't seem to have any legitimate pay-per-view fights there. They haven't been able to get Conor McGregor back. John Jones retiring is a nightmare because he hasn't passed the torch on to Tom Aspinall. Tom Aspinall could have been your next star if he actually got that win. Now all we have is questions. And obviously, prior to that, you lost the likes of Brock Lesnar and Ronda Rousey. So when you have these, and they're incredible athletes, don't get me wrong, when you have these Russians and Uzbekistanian fighters coming in and just wrestling your whole roster to death and coming out there and saying alhamdulillah and giving thanks to God, it's incredible to watch. But at the same time, that's not going to draw in your casual audience. So while these wrestlers are coming in and smothering and submitting your marketable fighters, it's going to be really difficult for UFC to carry much interest this weekend with the sports books or with the casinos or even with the pay-per-view buys this weekend. So it's not off top of my priority list this weekend, especially when we have two other major fights happening this weekend with big name fighters like Deontay Wilder and Jake Paul returning to the ring to box.
Let's turn to those in boxing, because Deontay Wilder is minus 1400 against Terrell Herndon, who's at plus 750. How are you going to handicap this fight when the favorite's laying so much juice?
Yeah, for me, it's just worth taking $10, $20 on the underdog, just because I watch Deontay Wilder in his last two fights, and that spark seems to have gone. Somehow between losing to Tyson Fury in that trilogy and then turning up to fight the likes of Zhang, and he also lost to Parker as well, the spark seems to have gone. If Deontay Wilder cannot finish you inside the first half of the fight, he's not going to win the fight on the scorecards. I was also concerned about how his punch resistance seems to be gone as well. It seems odd to me that Deontay Wilder is going to continue to fight for the money. Deontay Wilder was always a miracle in the first place. Just look at his legs. Just go and look at Deontay Wilder's chicken legs and tell me that is a heavyweight boxer. He was always a miracle how he produced that kind of power. But the miracle juice seems to be like leaving now. And this is obviously a fight for me to set up another fight. And he should win. 100% he should win, because the idea is, okay, I'm done as a fighter. Let's show people that I can win a fight against what I think is a tomato can fighter, which is obviously what this is. You go past the tomato can this weekend and you go and fight in a stadium against AJ. You lose to AJ, you retire. AJ then goes on and tries to get Tyson Fury out of retirement. They're two fighters that also cannot compete for the belt any longer while Usyk has it. So at the end of the day, all we're trying to do here is squeeze as much money as we can. But AJ needs to go out and show that he can still win a boxing match. Wilder needs to go out and show he can win a boxing match. I'm more convinced that AJ can knock over a tomato can than Wilder, though. That's the issue. And I think this price on the opponent is massive. Do I think Wilder wins? Absolutely. I think Wilder wins inside the first 6 minutes of this fight. But he didn't look anything like Deontay Wilder. He's never been a good, technically good boxer. He's never won rounds. So it's not like if Wilder doesn't knock his opponent out that he's going to be ahead at the end. So I think it's well worth taking 10, 20 bucks on the opponent, because he just looks so washed to me in his last two outings.
All right, moving over to Saturday. How about Jake Paul and Julio Cesar Chavez Jr.? Paul is a heavy favorite. So is there a way to find an edge in this match?
Yeah, I'm still like many other people. Like, I still am not 100% convinced that Jake Paul fights are actually real, if they're more boxing or if they're more WWE. But the money must be good. If they're not real, then the opponents are quite happy to lie down for him or to take it easy. I think when you look at that last fight against Mike Tyson, that was more of a case of Jake Paul halfway through that fight allowing Mike Tyson to see the final bell. And in this contest, we know Chavez Jr. is fighting for money. We know that he's already lost to Anderson Silva. But I think somebody with this much experience who's fought at the level that he has done isn't going to come out here and allow a Jake Paul to knock him out. The only way that I'd give the underdog any chance here is because it's 10 rounds, which isn't normally an amount of time that Jake Paul will allow himself to be in the ring for, which gives Chavez an opportunity to start taking later rounds if Jake isn't prepared for it properly. But the thing that you need to know about Jake Paul is that Jake Paul is a business. Jake Paul doesn't take fights. He doesn't win. Everything when it comes to Jake Paul has been completely cherry-picked and has been researched to a T. So I just don't see Jake Paul losing this fight. At the same time, I don't see Chavez Jr. being knocked out by somebody that we're still calling a YouTuber, no matter how many so-called boxers that he ends up fighting. And he'll claim that Tyson was a boxer. He'll claim Chavez was a boxer. He'll claim the guys that he fought who were boxers, who had boxing records to pad out his record, were boxers as well. But he won't lose this fight. I don't think anything happens with Jake Paul as far as losses go until he entices Tommy Fury back into a rematch, or until what I think is inevitable is that at some point Conor McGregor signs on a dotted line for a boxing match. So I think we're going to have to endure another year or two of this where we have these fights that Jake Paul can't lose. It's just a case of how and when. And I think the decision to me at around about plus 100 seems the most sensible way to go if you're just looking at this experienced fighter not allowing himself to be knocked out by Jake Paul.
Also starting tomorrow, it starts the knockouts this weekend in the FIFA Club World Cup, and there are futures out there. I know PSG is having a hell of a year. They're at 3-1, but Man City right now, the favorite's at plus 275. How would you approach the futures market before noon Eastern time tomorrow?
It's incredible how that moved, because a lot of people were very off on Man City. A lot of people were looking at a lot of these players approaching 30 and thinking that Pep Guardiola needed to do a complete rebuild. And then they beat a couple of weakened teams from continents that are not football continents. Granted, they beat Juventus yesterday, but Juve rested a lot of players. Like Igor Tudor, the manager of Juve, said he was going to do that. Then Man City not only win, but they blast them out of the water. And people are so impressed by it that Man City are installed as a favourite. That's a huge jump in the market that they've made. Obviously, they won 100% of their group matches. Obviously, one thing that you need to factor in here is when you look at this market, that Man City, by winning that, have moved over to the weaker side. Real Madrid and PSG were always going to be paired together by winning their group, but Bayern Munich, by losing to Benfica, are not on Man City's side anymore. So that's the weaker side of the draw. You would fancy Man City to come through ahead of Chelsea and Inter Milan on the other side of the draw and to be in the final. If they can win it, that would be massively impressive given their very poor season in the Champions League, in the Premier League, and generally failing to win a trophy. And it looking like Pep Guardiola needed a rebuild. And if he doesn't, then these players that he signed to as part of that rebuild have adjusted very, very quickly indeed.
Billy, quickly, got about a minute with you left. Wimbledon getting started next week. Men's side, women's side, who are you looking at?
Well, we're seeing a lot of rinse repeat in tennis at the moment. We're seeing like Sabalenka on the women's side just steaming through until she loses her mind and can't seem to finish off whatever she needs, finish off semifinals and finals. But obviously, for me, as a parlay piece, she's an automatic to win a quarter. And at the moment, you could say the same about Jannik Sinner and Alcaraz. Jannik Sinner seems to take care of business a lot easier when it comes to getting down a final, but he can't seem to beat Carlos Alcaraz. The problem is that Carlos Alcaraz has won on this surface two times. As much as I'm a massive Novak Djokovic guy, and I was always for him, not for Nadal, not for Federer, and I really want to see number 25, I think you're going to see these two guys meeting in a final, and Jannik Sinner really needs to overcome that mental hurdle to beat him. But you're getting good enough odds for these two to win their quarter and parlay together. You're getting good enough odds for these two to meet in the final.
Billy, great stuff. As always, love our chats, and have a great weekend. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
There he is, Billy Boddy, betting analyst, host of the Soccer Gambling Podcast. 20 more seconds. All right, Ariel, you're back on Monday. You're with Stormy. What bets do you think you'll be happy about when you talk on Monday? PLL!
Well, obviously, Premier Lacrosse, I'm really excited about my under tonight because I'm going to be watching it at 11:30 p.m. Eastern time while I'm sitting on the couch with my currently crying dog who's pissed that I just did a two-hour show with her in the crate.
Well, I hope she's doing well. You're the best. She is Ariel Epstein. I'm Keith Irizarry. For producer Brian, everyone behind the scenes, thanks for joining us. VSiN, Money Moves. Have a great weekend. We'll catch up with you soon.